One wouldn't imagine a tyrant ruling over a golden age. However, Cronus did just that with Greece. For those who may not know what the golden age is, it's just a time of great stability and growth for a nation. I honestly didn't even know until I played Civ 5, so this is your host, Danny Fulton. Welcome to History Dork. I thought about telling some of the myths surrounding some of the other Olympian gods. I decided that covering the story of how the gods came into power in the first place was more prudent. Plus, this story directly ties in to my episode about Zeus. Now, let's delve into this. Cronus was extremely paranoid when he castrated his father, Uranus. Uranus prophesied that one of Cronus' children would overthrow him, repeating the cycle yet again. This is what caused his extreme paranoia. If you know anything about the different types of beings that existed in the Greek myths, then you've probably seen or heard the term protogenoi pop up. Protogenoi is typically interchangeable with the term primordial god. Both are correct. The thing is that protogenoi are the physical embodiment, the personification of anything the Greeks believed would have one. The earth, sky, mountains, sea, you name it. Gaia is the representation of the earth, and Uranus was the personification of the sky. Uranus being the sky was significant because it sets the stage for myths later on, the most notable of which being the tale of Atlas. Because he was a protogenoi, he was basically invisible. What are you going to do? They can't kill him. So, Cronus had to use a scythe crafted and gifted by Gaia to even castrate him. To which he then threw his family jewels into the sea. And that comes into a play yet again, so I'm going to talk about that, maybe expand upon it more coming up later. In the last episode, I talked about how Cronus swallowed his first 5 children and a rock and skimmed over the war between the gods and the Titans. The war has become known as the Titanomachy. The gods have just escaped from Mount Orthrus and are now taking shelter in Zeus's secret cave. They know it wouldn't last. They needed a fortress of their own that rivaled Mount Orthrus, home of the Titans. It was decided that they would use Mount Olympus, a mountain in rural Greece shrouded in mystery. The peak of Mount Olympus was constantly shrouded by clouds, so the ancient Greeks believed that the mountain was so tall that it nearly reached the dome of the sky. They also believed the sky was a bronze dome. I don't know why bronze, but in reality, the clouds forming it was just called a lenticular cloud. So back to the story. Gods built their fortress atop this mountain. Notice how I keep only saying gods and never goddesses. That's because all the goddesses, Hestia, Demeter, and Hera, were all sent to stay with the Titan, Oceanus, who was a neutral party. He didn't want either any part of this war. Yeah. Whoever won, won. Whoever lost, lost in his opinion. The gods then sent a message to the Titans as a declaration of war. It basically said, side with us, and when we win, you will be welcomed within our ranks. And your past will be forgotten. Everything will be forgiven. She side with us right now. And if you decide to help the Titans in any way, you will be punished severely. The first to join the God side was Styx, the goddess of the river Styx. And her children, Nike, goddess of victory. Cretus, god of strength and might. Bia, goddess of force. Zelos, the god of rivalry. So far, the god side had Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, Metis, Styx, Nyx, Cretus, Bia, and Zelos. Meanwhile, the Titans had Cronus, Iapetus, Hyperion, Coeus, Trios, Atlas, and Minotius. There were also a couple monsters, but they were defeated very easily, so I decided not to include them. The two sides were perfectly evenly matched. Neither side could gain the upper hand. For years, this stretched on. The Titanomachy lasted 10 years, so this stalemate was the bulk of it. It looked like the stalemate would never end. That was until Gaia interfered. She was angry at Cronus for tossing her children and his siblings, the Cyclopes and Hecatoceres, into Tartarus. So she informed Zeus, you know, kind of spoke to him, that if he were to free them, he would win this war. Zeus was eager to end this war. It had already lasted for so long. So he ventured to the terrifying hell that is Tartarus and freed the Cyclopes and Hecatoceres. The three Cyclopes and the three Hecatoceres were immensely grateful for Zeus freeing them. So they pledged their services to the gods. The Cyclopes forged three weapons of war, the Master Bolt, the Trident, and the Helm of Darkness. Zeus was given the Master Bolt to pierce the Titan's thick skin. Poseidon was given the Trident to shake the earth itself. And Hades was given the Helm of Darkness to melt into the shadows and become completely undetectable. With these three weapons and Nike charioteering Zeus's chariot, the gods became unstoppable. There was nothing the Titans could do to fight back, and so the Titans got defeated by the gods. For the punishments, Zeus kept to his word about what will happen to those who don't side with him. Any Titan, except Atlas, that fought got sentenced to eternity in Tartarus. And Atlas, you may know this already, so anyone that really knows the tales of the 12 labors of Heracles could probably know it. Atlas was sentenced to have to hold up the sky on the ruins of Mount Orthrus. Even Titans or Titanides that did not fight but assisted the Titans were sentenced to be imprisoned alone. Most notably, if you know of it, Callisto, the daughter of Atlas, that had helped him somehow, probably banished him or something, and was sentenced to the island of Ogygia for eternity, and to have to fall in love with a hero every whatever, how many years. Only, but right as soon as she fell in love, the hero had to leave. I'll get more back onto that later on when I cover the Odyssey. Since the war is over, the big three gods Zeus, Poseidon, Hades. They had to decide who would rule what, instead of fighting, because there was already so much fighting and they were tired of it. So instead of fighting, they decided to draw lots. Zeus drew the sky, Poseidon drew the seas, and Hades drew the underworld. They also couldn't decide why one of them should rule any of the others. It was inane, There shouldn't be one ruler. They don't want to become like their father. So they decided that each of them were equals and all were kings, so they didn't have to obey each other. Even though it says, if you know of it, Zeus is the king of the gods, he's actually only the king of the gods on Olympus, while Poseidon is king of the gods in the oceans / Atlantis, and Hades is the king of the gods in the underworld. So if you know any lot of myths about Hades, he doesn't always follow what Zeus says, because he doesn't have to. They don't have to. They're all kings and they're right. They all have equal standing. That's everything. If I missed anything, feel free to let me know. And the next podcast will be a story involving two gods. I can't spoil everything. If you want to know more, listen to the next episode. Please, rate and review this. Thank you. Goodbye.